American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that silently spreads. There's an unspoken fear, we're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's back.
You've tuned in to the National Intel Report. I'm Clint Richards, substituting today for John Stettmiller. Hello to the RBN family. It's been a while. Good to have you back in my little world here. Listen, I was listening to that song just now, and how many times has that song played over and over and over? And it's an interesting concept of taking America back. And that's kind of what I want to actually talk to you about tonight. I called John yesterday or asked him to call me because a while ago when I actually ended my little more than two year stint as a host on RBN here, leaving on very good terms, just needed to focus on finishing this book, which I finally have, at least volume one of it. It is currently standing at about 760 pages in my Word document, and that will probably transfer over to a little over 900 pages when I finally format it. Yes, I know. But one of the things, so essentially, John, instead of interviewing me, I guess I'm going to have to interview myself. All right, well, hey, I'm Clint, and you know me from the Corporation Nation show and website and movies. My blog is realityblogger.wordpress.com. Hey, welcome to the show, Clint. Oh, hey, don't call me by that name. I wish to be treated as a non-gender, non-bias, non-binary person without sexual reference. I'm just kidding. I don't know. I'm so lost today, as I'm sure most of you are, that this stuff is going on. But it actually, when you get down to it, it actually starts making perfect sense when you realize that our government is in the business of organized chaos, organized anarchy, if you will. And so I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that song that plays in front of John's show, to introduce John's show. What is it to take America back? What does that actually mean? Maybe we're not asking the right question. Can we take America back? Well, did we ever have America in the first place? For that matter, what is America? Are we talking about North America, South America? Are we talking about the Union of American States? How many of you actually heard of the Union of American States? I'll bet you not many, but it turns out that there is a Union of American States, which includes all of the quote-unquote nations or states or countries, whatever you want to call them, in both North, Central, and South America. You might want to check that out, because that is actually has a lot to do with what we do. It's very similar to the North American Union and other sorts of legal corporations, entities, right? So, yeah, the Union of American States. When Obama actually accidentally referred to the 57 states, I believe that he might have been actually accidentally mixing up the United States with the with the Union of American States, which he is, of course, a part of as well. We're basically, when we're talking about America, in the traditional sense. What's interesting about that is that we're talking about the territory that was founded in the United States. And from territories, states were made. We're all familiar with the Northwest Territory and the Virginia Territory and all these territories that were created. But only then were the actual states created as and at that point you stop calling it a territory, you call it a state. Does that mean that the territory went away? In other words, does that mean that America went away just because a state was created? Well, that's the interesting part. You see, territory is a very important word because we're dealing with two different things here, folks. We're dealing with a nation, a district, which is, strangely enough, as I have discovered, the word district actually means, when we're talking about the District of Columbia or New Columbia, we're actually talking about a word that means distress, distraint, and seizure. Now, these are difficult words to understand until you really delve into the legal system, the legal language, but they don't sound very good, do they? If I'm in the nation or the District of Columbia and I'm a citizenship thereof, then I'm under distress, I'm under distraint, and I'm under seizure. Oh, well, that doesn't sound too good, does it? These are all terms that I've, in my massive tome of research, which is now getting close to 4,000 pages, it's just one of those words that you have to realize what it really stems down to. It's when I say the word district, the first word, and I say seizure, the first word that comes to mind is Caesar. The notion of the district is kind of very much like the notion of Caesar's realm. We're familiar with the Bible verse of rendering back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and that is actually a reference to, in the Bible, to rendering back the citizenship to the nation or to the district. Again, I'm going to be saying things today that might take you by surprise. You might call BS on them only because the research that I do have that supports some of these things, of course, I can't put forward 760 pages or, for that matter, 4,000 pages in little sound bites. Just impossible to do. But you do need to understand one very important thing about the district, of Columbia, which was ceded as the seat of government. The lands of the United States were ceded from, that's S, or C-E-E-D, ceded. We talk about secession, sort of the same thing. The lands are given up. And so what is the United States, the seat of government, the District of Columbia, as the quote-unquote nation, is that small district called Washington, D.C. Those lands were taken, I should say given, by Virginia and I think Maryland, if I'm not mistaken. So the territory of those states was given up to form this foreign entity called the United States. And this is very, very, very important to understand, that the territory that the United States sits on is not one of the states. California, state. Nebraska, a state. Washington, D.C., although we call it colloquially as a state, is not a state of the Union. It is the personification, if you will, the anthropomorphization of the Union, the compact between the states. It is where Congress, or what we call the United States of America in Congress assembled, actually goes to this sort of foreign place to meet. Now, why that's important is because the difference between what is a territory and what is a nation, one is a fiction, one is actually referential to the land. Territory comes from territorium, from the Latin, and terra, which we know to mean earth. And that's very interesting when you actually think about what a territory is compared to what a jurisdiction, a legal jurisdiction, a fictional place is. You got a real place, the terra, the earth, the land, which is the states, and then you have this sort of foreign entity, this nation, the United States. And we have to be able to distinguish between those two. And we also have to be able to distinguish what we are members or citizens of. Are we citizens of a state or are we citizens of the nation, the district? These distinctions must be understood. The reason why the United States Code gives us equal rights, quote-unquote equal rights, under Title 42, Section 1981, for instance, where it says that states have no authority to overrule the federal law. Why is that? Because we're United States citizens. We're not state citizens. Now, I know that the 14th Amendment is very tricky, and it says that U.S. persons are citizens of each state and of each and of the nation, of the United States. You cannot be fooled by that kind of wording without actually going in depth and understanding what those words actually mean. It's very important to understand that the legal dictionaries all agree, which are the court decisions, court opinions, that a United States citizen is not a private citizen of any state. You cannot be both. You cannot be a citizen of the nation and a private citizen of any state. You cannot be public and private at the same time. It's impossible. You cannot be under United States law and at the same time be in a private law of a state. It's an impossibility. It's a paradox. And this is I'm sorry that this is very difficult to put into, again, sound bites, but it's very important to understand that the concept of taking America back is the concept of taking the territory back. United States is not America. That sounds nuts, doesn't it? It just sounds absolutely freaking nuts. But the United States is not America. The United States is Washington, D.C. It's a district. Now, that district, that jurisdiction, certainly can extend to wherever with its military in 190 countries or whatever it's in now, can certainly extend to wherever it wishes to extend it to, and it certainly does extend into the states when it involves interstate commerce with its citizenships. But you got to understand that to be a citizen of a state and to be citizenship of the United States are two different things. You want to take America back? Well, what that really means is that you're going to take the land, the territory back. And the question becomes, how does one actually do that? How does one reclaim their birthright, their blood right? Well, in all these travels, in all these years of research, one of the hardest things to do was to let go of all of the propaganda, all of the information, all of the quote-unquote truth that I believed so fervently to be the truth, all of the patriot mythology, as they call it, all of the religious notion or the spiritual notion of being a fictional being, a fictional entity in a fictional nation. It's very difficult to get around the indoctrination, the public schooling, the public mindedness, because of course no master wants their slaves to actually understand the language that enslaves them. And that's what I've so ardently strive to do in my work, in my book, which, by the way, I'm going to be releasing tomorrow, which is why I'm talking about this today. It is very strange to think that the United States is not America. In other words, it's not the territory, the land of America. So what does it mean to take America back? Well, do you really think that that's a... Do you want to take the fiction back, or do you want to take the land back? You see, this brings us to the notion of sovereignty. Sovereignty is a very misunderstood concept. When a state is sovereign, it means it has no law above it. If you're going to be considered as a sovereign entity, not a sovereign citizen, when we're talking about sovereignty, sovereignty can only be over the land, right? Sovereignty can only be over, I should correct myself, it can be over the land or it can be over your own creation. Now, we have to understand that a person of the United States is the property of the United States. It is a status. I could spend this whole 2 hours talking about the word person. The word person alone is perhaps the one key, or are. There was a great debate, and a lot of really interesting quotes speaking about why it is that the Constitution said states instead of people. Why were we using the word, people, what was it? the confusion that is caused by using the word people instead of states. I believe I'm at a loss right now. I'm so overwhelmed with information. Because the clarity is not there. When you say state, it can be taken several ways, but when that word state is capitalized, it becomes a capitanym or a proper noun, and it can only refer to a specific people, a private people. Now, the difference here is palatable, and it's very important. We will continue this after this little visual interruption, and we will take calls in the second hour, and you are welcome to grill me and just all you want. I only ask that you listen to reason. We'll be back. What goes up must come down. John Statler's taking a break today. I'm Clint Richardson taking a I'm hosting. There's no other word for it. So I wanted to make it clear. I want to read you the definition for a couple words here, just so we're clear. The difference between what a nation is, what your nationality is, which is a fictional status. It has nothing to do with your blood. In other words, if you're part of a nation, and this is so important to understand that blood and inheritance and land are all interconnected. The law automatically recognizes blood inheritance. It recognizes your son, your daughter as the inheritor of your lands. But when you are put into a nation, when you're put into a district, into a foreign thing, a corporation, a municipal corporation like Washington, D.C., where the seat of government is founded, then you're not on the land. I really want to stress this to you. You're not on the land, folks. Territory, again, terra or earth, the extent or compass of land within the bounds or belonging to the jurisdiction of any state, city, or other body. It is a tract of land belonging to and under the dominion of a prince or state. In other words, a people, a private people that have the dominion of the land. Do you think that's you? Do you think that by having a residence, not a domicile, not the dominion, but just a residence, a legal residence, to use the land? I think most of you are familiar that if you actually do a little research, you're going to find that you're just a renter, you're a tenant, even if you think you own your property, it's actually the property of the landholders. the private people of the state. You see, it's a tract of land belonging to and under the dominion of that prince or that state. State means people. Remember that. There's a difference between the people or the state, capitalized, and the state, which is the legal government created or constituted by those people to house residents of the United States, to conduct interstate commerce as a third party with the agents of the persons, the citizenships of the United States. These are two different things. I know this is difficult. I know that I'm probably talking too fast. It's all in my book. It's explained in such detail that I don't even, I feel sorry for you. And so much detail, so much self-evident reality and truth that you're, that, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. Like I said, you're welcome to call in the second hour, and I mean, I'd appreciate a little respect and decent questions and actually try to get to the real truth, but I guess trolls are welcome too. I know this is not a troll-free zone, or troll-free number, as what's-his-name used to say. This tract of land lies at a distance from the parent country or from the seat of government. Well, if the territory lays at a distance from the seat of government, which is Washington, D.C., the district, well, then obviously the district is not one of the states. It is not one of the territories. And it gives examples as the territories of the East India Company, the territories of the United States, the territory of Michigan, or, as we all know, the Northwest Territory. These districts of country, when received into the Union and acknowledged to be states, lose the appellation, the name, in other words, of territory. They become states. The private people get together. It becomes a state. They create a state government that accepts foreign United States citizenships into a commercial residence. The difference between residence and domicile is very important to understand. We all have domicile in the United States. When I say we, I mean our persons. Our status is of the United States. We're United States citizens, not state citizens. We reside as United States citizens in a foreign state. This is why we don't own any land. We don't hold it. We can't dispose of it. We only have imperfect titles, not lodial titles. We'll be back. Report. John is taking a break. I'm Clint sitting in. I'm telling you guys about over a decade of research that I've put into this book. I'm going to be releasing this book tomorrow. It is a private work. It is not for sale. It is free. I wish that you would download it and give it to everybody that you possibly can, or at least to those who you... Well, heck, give it to everybody. I will be releasing a blog post about it, and I will direct people to the link to where to download it. The website that it will be posted on is strawmanstory.info. That's strawmanstory.info, where the free PDF will be downloadable. So, I hope to put it into a printed book form. I've got a local printing a company here that is fairly cheap. Unfortunately, you have to do bulk printing to get it that cheap, so I'm going to be asking for donations to help me print those books and, of course, give a book free in exchange for the donation. It's kind of the same model as all the religions do out there to avoid all the tax and all that stuff, keeping it as private as I possibly can, giving it only as a gift and in exchange receiving gifts, that sort of thing. It makes it a little more difficult but well worth it to ensure that I'm not giving my book to government in the name of its person and having it become public domain property where I get a few rights to use but not own my own work. No thanks, I'll keep it private. And that's the most important aspect of the whole thing, is the difference between what is public and what is private. Everything in the United States, everything the United States rules over in its jurisdiction is public. Public lands, public this, public persons, public places. Those are the things that, according to the enabling acts of the constitutions of the United of each state, were the to the parts that were what are they called? Oh, I have to get to that in a moment. I can't think of the name at the moment. The territories that were given to the United States. I'll have to get back to it, sorry. Now, we just read the definition for territory. We have to understand, again, it's the earth, it's the land. It's referring or a referential word to the specific actual land that a landholder would own. In other words, the mineral deposit all the way down to hell and all the way up to heaven. Right, all the way in the sky, all the way down to the center of the earth, if you want to think of it that way, if that's easier, that's what the territory is. Those are the water rights and all that stuff. You can only have that on private land. Now, if anything goes through that land, say a public highway or a public waterway, as they call them now, well, then that is considered as public. The land on either side of it is still private. For instance, a private beach. The water is public, but as soon as you get past the shoreline, that's private land. So that's called an easement, right? The public has an easement, basically a guaranteed easement on public lands. But if you notice, public people can't go on private lands, so what are private lands, you might wonder, and why can't you, as a public citizenship of the United States, a foreigner in every state, why can't you have public lands? Private lands. Well, it's because you're public. Why aren't you allowed on private lands without a license or a permission? Because you're public. You're not a landholder. You're not a private... you're not one of the private people or states. We have to understand this. You want to take America back? The only way you're going to do that is if you get yourself some land. You're not going to be able to do that if... state's citizen, because you're a foreigner. Now, let's go to, so we understand what a territory is, all right? Let's go to what nationality is. What is it to be of a nationality? Well, does it have anything to do with the land in any way, shape, or form? Does it have anything to do with the territory, the terra, the earth? No, absolutely nothing. It's all fiction. What is the United States? Folks, it's a fiction. It's a municipal corporation. The quality or character. You know what? That's like saying human instead of man. When I say something looks human, it's man-like. It's not man. It's something that is of man, but not man himself. It's a quality or character of man. Well, nationality is a quality or character of a person. A person not being a man. The quality or character which arises from the fact of a person's belonging to a nation or state. Folks, when you see the word belonging, that means property, proprietary persons. That's what we are operating in. When we say we're a United States citizen, ships or vessels in commerce, we are not a private man, a private citizen of the state. We are of the nationality. We're not of the territory. Nationality determines the political status. Remember that any time you hear the word person, it is never a referential to the actual man. It is to the form without substance. It is the status or the character or the quality of the political status of the individual. Now, individual is another word for person. Remember, you go to the United States Code, you'll see that a person is an individual, or what they call a natural person, which, don't be fooled by the word natural, Think about the products they sell you in stores that say natural. Does that mean they're natural? Did that mean they were picked right out of the earth? No, they're compounds created in laboratories, but they're still natural, aren't they? Well, what do you think a person is? What do you think an individual is? A person is an individual, corporation, association, foundation, etc., etc., etc. Because they call it a natural person. You know, Shakespeare used the word natural. A lot of authors have used the word natural. It's a word that refers to the animal quality, the slave mentality of man. Not to a regenerate, an educated man, not to a civilized man. No. Natural, you call someone a natural as an insult. It's a legal term. Legal is always opposed to what nature is. So to say legally that someone is natural is to say they're not actually natural. It's very bizarre, but that's what we find. The legal language is always opposed to what is of nature, or, if you prefer, of God. God is a whole other topic. It's a whole other word we need to discuss. God is a word. It's not a real thing. It's a word. God can be referential to many different things. Unless you're specific to what you mean when you say God, chances are you're saying king or magistrate or judge or mayor or president or queen or pope. That's what it means in the Bible, for the most part, unless it's talking about the specific word. But what do you expect from a king who translates the Bible and who is called as God? The people who came over to America in the colonies, which means plantation or farm, the people who were peopled here like cattle, they still recognize the king as their god until the quote-unquote revolution. They still recognize the king, God, as their source of rights. So when you say these words, you have to know what you're saying. They are terms of art. They are legal terms. They're not natural terms. They're not terms that mean anything specific in the common speak. And so when you're looking at things in the common vulgar language, which we call English, dog Latin, then we miss the point. We don't understand what the terms means because they have a legal or opposing meaning to nature. Very important to understand that. It's what my whole book is about. Now, I'm not going to be able to sit here and prove this to you again in this short time, in these sound bites. I can only tell you what I've learned, and I can point you to what I'll be releasing tomorrow and in the future volumes of that as the evidence. I never want you to listen to somebody and believe them. I want you. This is why I wrote this. This is why I collected all the evidence and all the information I could, not because I wanted to prove my own what I wanted to be true. I wanted to know the truth despite myself. And for those who are willing to sacrifice themselves to the truth, to lose your ego, to lose all the things that you think you are. What does the Bible say? It says, stop pretending to be something when you are no thing. You are a man and nothing else. As soon as you take on the name, the number, the title, the mark, the signs of a fictional character, of a nationality, you become less than a man. Your blood is tainted, you're corrupted, you have no connection to the land or the territory because you're domiciled in a district that is not one of the states. You start to see how this works. The reason that we can't take America back is because we're not a party to it. We're not a party to the Constitution. And on that note, we're going to get into the Second Amendment, what it really means. Nationality determines the political status of the individual, especially with reference to allegiance. Do you think a sovereign owes allegiance to anybody? Huh? You still think you're sovereign as a citizen, a subject of the United States? Come on, folks. Wake the hell up. While domicile determines the civil status, okay? Political status is nationality. Who you're allegiant to. Who are you allegiant to? Who do you pledge allegiance to, folks? You pledge allegiance to the people. The states united. The people united who created a compact and created a municipal district called the United States. You pledge allegiance to the private people. What makes them private? It's a term you might have heard before. They are the people who have reserved all of their rights. They don't get their rights from a piece of paper, from a law. They get their rights from God. It's called God-given rights. I don't care what your opinion of the word God is until you learn the difference between what a God, a magistrate, is in the court. When you go into court, folks, you are praying to your God. The word prayer or pray was the word that was used up until recently when we changed it to the word plea or plead. Okay, whatever you think God is, I guarantee you that you are mistaken. If you truly knew what God was, you would not be a citizenship of the United States. You would remain private, and you would reserve all your God-given natural rights. Don't believe me? Read the book. It's free. I'm not charging you nothing. Don't just sit there and poo-poo. Don't just sit there and say whatever it is you're saying. Read it. Dispute it. Dispute it. From the facts, not from what I'm saying. Domicile determines your civil status. What is your civil status? What is status, folks? Status is a person. Status is nothing real. It's your person. You're a person of the United States. Your domicile is in the United States. Your residence, which is not permanent, only temporary, is in one of the states of the Union. Your domicile is the United States as a person of the United States. Your civil status, your nationality is of the United States. That's your political status, meaning you owe allegiance to the United States. In other words, the private people who formed the United States. Nationality is also used opposed to territoriality. Nationality is that which is opposed to territory. It's opposed to the land. What is America? America is the land. What is your nationality? What is the nation? A nation is what is opposed to the land. Why can't we take America back? Because we don't know how to take the land back. We've been fooled. We've been birthed into a system that is purely fictional. We are domiciled in a district, not a land, not a territory, that is one of the states. How can you possibly take the America back if you can't even have, you don't even have access to the actual land, if you're always a refugee, a foreigner in any of the states, and you're only allowed there because you have a United States citizenship, literally a passport, to have an easement on all the public lands, all the public places, and to hold imperfect title. To have a mortgage, which means dead pledge. See, that's the problem, folks. We're not living. We're not alive. We're dead. We are in attainder. Our blood is corrupted, figuratively, because of the legal status, the civil status, the nationality we're participating in. You can't have an allegiance to the people and also be the people, the sovereignty. It's impossible. It's an oxymoron. Sovereign citizen is also an oxymoron. You either have private land where you are the king of your land, or you don't. What is a native? I find it very interesting that nobody knows the word nativity and what it means. Nativity, as in Christ's nativity, and we all have our own nativity scene, believe it or not. We're all very much like Christ. We don't act like Christ, but we have the same story. What is the nativity? Nativity is to be bound in a nation. It's a prison. Go look it up, folks. Look it up legally, not commonly. What is a native, then? A natural-born subject. 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 What do you think that word means? For God's sake, it goes back to your nationality. Nationality determines political status of the individual, especially with reference to allegiance. What is a native-born subject or citizen? It goes on. It says it's a denizen by birth. You know what a denizen is, folks? It's very denizen is a citizen, but a denizen is someone who's been enfranchised into a corporate person. That's what happened to the slaves. You see, the slaves became 14th Amendment citizenships. In other words, they were granted a property, a person of the United States, and all the white people were brought down, who were not the private bloodline, were brought down to that level of slavery. Don't believe me? Well, gosh, maybe you'll believe some other people besides me. Because, see, my book is not a collection of my own thoughts. My book is a collection of other people's thoughts. My book is a collection of law, of Bible scripture, and how those two are diametrically opposed to each other. My book is not my opinion. That's all I can say. It's a collection of knowledge. It's the ancient knowledge, the scriptural knowledge, the knowledge of law, and how it is opposed to natural law. Legal is anti-God, anti-nature, anti-man. We'll be back, folks. Stay tuned. Folks, welcome back. Here on the National Intel Report, this is Clint Richardson filling in for John today. I'm obviously very passionate about this because I got to tell you, folks, what I have found is the most infuriating information. When you find the truth, when you really find the truth, and the truth, bear in mind that the truth is very seldom what we want it to be. Very seldom does the truth actually jive with our beliefs. Very seldom. And until you're willing to put aside your ego, to put aside your identity. Identity is a funny word. You know, the ego is what supports the id. And what they've really done is they've created a person out of the id. They've given us an identity and a reputation, all these different forms, and they've made it into an identity, an identity. It's very interesting when you start breaking down these things. And so our ego is always constantly getting in our way. We're not able to accept the truth even when we hear it because we're so convinced that the fiction is real. The nation is real. It's real. It exists in nature somehow, even though it's a piece of paper. Corporation, yeah, it exists. No, it's a piece of paper. It's a person, an artificial person. What does the Bible say over and over and over? Do not respect persons of any form, any shape, because they are all artificial. Do not respect flattering titles. What's a flattering title? What is your profession? Are you a judge? Are you a teacher? Are you a police officer? What are you? Are you unemployed or employed? Are you in poverty? These are all, are you wealthy? These are all flattering titles. Don't respect flattering titles. Never respect flattering titles. Never take oaths to fictions. Never. No one's read the Bible, man. I want to read you a quote from Horace Greeley. Horace Greeley is an interesting character. He had some really, really, really wonderful writings. He was very aware of how evil this system was. He was not one to support the general propaganda. He was friends with Abraham Lincoln and very much opposed Lincoln's true stance on slavery. Lincoln was very much for slavery and only said that he would get rid of slavery if it would save the Union, in other words, the power of the federal government, over all those Confederate states that wanted out. Here's what Horace Greeley said. Horace Greeley, he lived from 1811 to 1872. He was the founder of the New York Tribune. speaking on the post-Civil War, specifically about the 14th Amendment citizenship. Now, remember, what happened? Well, suddenly I'm a black man. All these white persons, quote-unquote, legal persons, were able to just string me up from the nearest tee. But as soon as I acquired a United States citizen, as soon as I became property, not of a private master, but of a public one, as soon as I became a 14th Amendment slave, a voluntary slave, suddenly I was property of the United States. Now, if you mess with me, you're messing with a citizenship of commercial vessel of the United States. You're doing damage to the United States, not just to me. All of a sudden, poor white guys, they couldn't harm the black guys anymore, because they weren't harming the black guy, they were harming a commercial vessel of the United States. We'll be back.
The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town. Like a cancer that silently spreads, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long.
I want to read from Horace Greeley, because this really, in a nutshell, says it all. I really want you to take this quote to heart. Take it to heart, folks. What is 14th Amendment? What is in citizenship under or subject to the district that is the United States, the seat of government? What is it to be in nativity or to be born in, to be in the birthplace of a nation? Where your father is not your own blood, but that of a corporation, a municipal corporation. What is it to be in nativity or of the nation and not of the states, not a private landholder of the states? Here's what he said, folks. Now remember, he's referring to 14th Amendment citizenship. He is criticizing the very system that was set up, the commercial entity of the United States. He said, we have stricken the slave shackles from 4 million human beings and brought all laborers to a common level. Not so much by the elevation of former slaves as by practically reducing the whole working population, white and black, to a condition of serfdom. While boasting of our noble deeds, we are careful to conceal the ugly fact that by an inequitous money system, we have nationalized a system of oppression, which, though more refined, is not less cruel than the old system of chattel slavery. Now, folks, you're hearing what this guy is saying. This is not one of the public persons of the United States. This is a private person. This is a guy who's in with the in crowd. As George Carlin said, if you believe in the American dream, it's because you have to be asleep to believe it. As George Carlin said, oh, man, this guy, you know, it's their club and you ain't in it, is what he said. This is one of those guys. This is one of those guys that's in the club, all right? He's telling you that you, your forefathers, and anyone stupid enough to become a United States citizen through the 14th Amendment, to give up all of their rights, to their natural rights, to not reserve any rights, which is the only thing that the Constitution protects, are reserved rights. It's why it's called a negative document. It protects negative rights. A negative right stems from a duty to do no harm, to follow the natural law, to treat others as you'd have them that is what the Constitution protects. All right? He's telling you that all common laborers, all common people, white and black, whatever color you pretend to be, were reduced to a condition of serfdom. He's referring to the United States as the new form of feudalism, where landholders hold the perfect or allodial title. They are the kingship or the people. And the feuds, the plebs that are us, the Borg or the bourgeoisie, we can only be tenants. We can only have imperfect title. We can only use the land, but not dispose of it. We can trade titles. We can get mortgages, dead pledges. We can get all kinds of real benefits, banking benefits. Ooh, wonderful, more debt. But we do not hold the land. We have no natural rights because we're not part of the land. We're a nationality. Nationality is opposed to the land or the territory. We're not part of the states. We can't take America back because we're not part of America. As soon as you give up your United States citizenship, well, then maybe. Maybe, and that's what the book is about. Maybe you have a chance. Maybe if you learn the law and you learn history and you learn about the feudal system and you want to become a slave master instead of a slave, well, then, yeah, you can get your own land. Is that a good thing? Depends what you do with that land. It's your land. You make your law. It's private. You make private law on your own land. What are you going to do with the land? How are you going to take America back? How are you going to start promoting the quote-unquote Christian ideals of America unless you have your own land that you can actually have true freedom of religion? You know, freedom of religion in this country does not mean what you think it does. Black's Law Dictionary is very clear that there's two aspects to the freedom of religion. One is the freedom to believe whatever the hell you want inside your ludicrous mind. But the way that you act on your religious, your moral law, your spiritual, your scriptural law, the way that you act on that law is forbidden or at least regulated by the legal authorities, the powers that be. You don't have true freedom of religion. This is what it is to be a denizen or a citizenship. Freedom means franchise in the legal term. Look it up or get my book. It explains it. Free means franchise. Dom means dominion. If you have a franchise, the dominion of the United States, you do not have freedom of religion in a natural sense. You're not free to practice your morals. You cannot change anything is what I'm trying to tell you. You can't take anything back because you don't have it. Until you become a landholder, only then can you change the land. Can you stop these private corporations from ravishing the earth? But until you become and you take back what was stolen from not you, but from your parents long time ago. And you know, the maxim of law says that you follow the status of your parents. If your parents are a slave, a voluntary slave, well, then so are you. What do you think the 13th Amendment means when it says no involuntary servitude will be? Well, what about voluntary servitude? What about this voluntary indenture, huh? That's what we are. You starting to understand? You starting to understand? There's nothing to take back until you actually take back some land from those who stole it from you. And what's interesting about that is if you go to the Sestakivay Act of 1666, 666, and read it, it basically created a status, a death, if you're an heir, and your land was taken, or you disappeared out of the territory, you went, in other words, beyond sea is the official term, sea meaning the sea of commerce, the jurisdiction, and you're never heard from again after, I think, 7 years is the official time period. You're considered as dead. It doesn't matter whether you're actually alive or not. You're dead. How many people have gone to court because they've been missing? And they come back and they want to have benefits and Social Security, but the court says, sorry, sir, you're dead. This is mainstream news. Happens all the time. People go and they say, but I'm Clint Richardson. No, sir, you're dead. Clint Richardson is dead. Sorry, you have no rights here. You're just kind of in limbo. Sorry, you don't have no political condition here. You have no status. You're dead. A judge is looking you right in the face telling you you're dead. Well, he's not talking about you. He's talking about your person. Your person is dead. That's how you know a person is not a man. That's how the fact that your id entity, your identity can be stolen from you, tells you that your identity is not your own. pure, utter, self-evident truth. If your identity can be stolen, your identity is not you. It's your person. So your person, your status can be stolen. Until we separate these two concepts, until you understand that being a public person and being a private person are two completely different statuses, there is nothing that you're going to take back. You've got to stop celebrating the nation, and you've got to start celebrating the compact between states. Before that nation was ever created, they called it a confederacy. You think the confederacy disappeared? Hell no. You know what confederacy actually means? Oh, you're not going to like it. You're not going to like this at all. Confederacy has two different words that it is the same as. One of those is combination. The other one is conspiracy. I shit you not. That is what confederated or confederation means. It means a conspiracy. And you know what? Hell, it's really simple to verify that. Just go look. Don't poo-poo me. Don't shoot the messenger. I'm not here to tell you my opinion. I'm here to tell you the truth. And the truth is very seldom what you want to hear. Confederacy, combination, and conspiracy are the same word, folks. Why can't you ever prove a conspiracy? Why can't you prove that 9/11 was a conspiracy? Government doesn't create. Government is the conspiracy. It doesn't create conspiracies. The only conspiracy a government will recognize is one that's against it. You cannot be a conspiracy and then commit a conspiracy against your own conspiracy. Why do you think there's nothing ever... Think about it, folks. Or get my book and get the full story, the full definitions of these words. Words are everything. I'm telling you, do not doubt the importance of words. Let me read you some quotes. Philip K. Dick, very prominent author, said the basic tool for the manipulation of reality is the manipulation of words. If you can control the meaning of words, you can control the people who must use them. Which words do you think you are allowed to use when you step into a court, a jurisdiction of the United States? Which words, who do you think defines the terms of art, of the legal art? Whose words do you think you are allowed to use in the court? What do you think that judge is hearing? Do you think he's hearing your heartfelt words? Do you think he's hearing your common words? No, he's hearing the words as are defined in the legal language. And if he doesn't like that word, he'll redefine it on the spot. You have no right to tell the judge what words mean. Now, you can certainly define your own terms in your own writings, but you cannot sit there and tell the judge that this word means that. The judge only knows his own terms of art. A doctor only knows his own terms of art. A nurse, a florist, a botanist only knows his own terms, his own language. You cannot be a botanist or a lawyer or a politician or a judge unless you know the language. Ethnicity is another word. You got to understand ethnicity has nothing to do with your race, your color. It's the language. Whatever language you speak, whatever language you've been indoctrinated into is your ethnicity. So I tell people in other places, Ireland, start speaking your Gaelic. Start speaking your original tongue. Because that's not recognized. They can't do it. It's like being silent. You speak in the language that's not legal. Oh, sorry. Can't communicate. Can't communicate with the fictions of law. 1-800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. I'd like to hear from you. I want to say again that my book, I call it my work, my private work, that will eventually be in book form, will be released tomorrow at some point. I'll say before the business day, for whatever that means, the busyness. It will be free, and I am asking for donations if anybody can. But I don't want donations if you can't afford it. This is a free work. I want you to pass it out to as many people as you possibly can. I expect nothing in return. If you'd like to get a hard copy of the book, the only way I can do that is to collect. I've no income. I've been a full-time researcher, an activist, movie maker, radio show host all this time. I've never received a dime for anything I do. I made a promise long ago that all my work would be free, and it always will be. If you'd like to get a hard copy, though, unfortunately, I can't pay for your copy. instructions to get one will be forthcoming tomorrow. I'll release a blog about it on realityblogger.wordpress.com, and I will repeat that on strawmanstory.info. So much information that is in my head. I don't know how I could possibly get it to you. Let me read you a couple more quotes, then we'll take some calls. It's from the City of Dallas versus Mitchell. Court case you can look up yourself. 2245 SW 944. It says simply this: the rights of the individuals. What's an individual? It's a person. The rights of the individuals are restricted only to the extent that they have been voluntarily surrendered by the citizenship to the agencies of government. How are your rights restricted? How are you not a party to the Constitution? Well, you haven't reserved your God-given rights, your natural rights. You voluntarily surrendered those rights, those God-given natural rights, the ones the Constitution protects, by the citizenship to the agencies of government. The nation, the domicile. Lancaster County versus Trimble says very clearly, very simply, that a county, all right, like Los Angeles County, is a person in a legal sense. But a sovereign is not. A county, a city, a state, a government, I should say, a nation, etc., is a person in a legal sense, an artificial person. But a sovereign is not. You can't go and sue Congress. They're a sovereignty. You can't sue the private people of the states. They're in sovereignty. And you certainly can't do anything on the private lands of those people, those states. They are sovereignty. There's no person to invoke. There's nothing that you can do. There's no legal fiction to take and put into the other jurisdiction of the legal fiction. You can't do it because a sovereign is not a person. Jeff in Idaho, my friend Jeff in Idaho, who
I know your passion. It would take about 30 hours to get this book introduction in place. So I want to slow you down. I want to read you a quote. The real looting in this country takes place in the transfer of wealth from the poor to the rich, and the poor have been systematically looted in this country. The rich have been made richer under this criminal fascist president and his government, George Carlin. Now, on page 760, Clint, after the show, go back and look for the Howard Beale Freudian slip in that paragraph, okay? I was listening to the first 20 minutes on my, because I record this, and then I restarted the editing computer and I saw the email you sent me at 5:39 Standard Time, Central Standard Time today, and I laughed, Clint. I thought your book was about avoiding insurance. When you're going to release this on D-Day, I was thinking about Animal House, you know, the guy in the motorcycle with the military empire that you're writing about. And your book is to bring down the New World Order, nation states and religions, and bring in the New Word Order. So thanks for letting me be an edit apostle for you. And, I'm going to try and get out the stuff. I've been trying to convey as many of the principles as I can on air, and giving teasers over the past month or so.
Because the book, the book's not out there. People can't get it yet, but it's going to be available tomorrow. I will say thank you, Jeff. Jeff was one of the people I sent it to be edited, and he certainly delivered, going through it a couple times, in fact. And I certainly appreciate that. I have no way to pay anybody for anything because, again, I have no income. And with no income, of course, no taxes. So I specifically want to thank you, especially for spending so much time going through this and helping.
Yeah, well, Clint, the thing about it is, though, since you sent me this version, that's the 15 for the added apostles. That quote from George Carlin on page 76: "Mad needs to be changed to made." But I'm just saying, I opened that quote before you started talking about George Carlin because I was looking at the back end, and it appeared. But I'll get up there, and we want to get you on books 2 and 3 as fast as possible. But anyone out there for Clint's work, download his book and then try and send him some donations so we can get this book printed and out there, because over the next couple months, this is going to be real critical on the summertime of informing people on what's really going on and getting their property back.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it. Yeah, I sent it out to just a few people that helped me in the editing process because I'm like, you know, I'm letting this thing go. I'm putting it out into the world. I know,
but I'll send you this one thing back tonight on email, okay?
All right, man. Thanks.
Thanks. See you, man.
I'm putting it out in the world. It's like letting a child go into the world when he reaches the age of consent or something. It's like letting something go. Putting the final say that it's a finished product is so very difficult. So many things I'd like to keep adding, and I could add to it from here to attorney and never ever actually get it out there. And so at some point you just have to say, okay, let it go and finish whatever it hasn't been said in the next volumes. That's where I'm at. I've never been so nervous. You know, I've been nervous like this since I started doing radio here on RBN, but man, I'm so nervous letting this thing go because it is, oh man, it can change the world if you guys just let it. We'll be back. Hosting or sub-hosting for John tonight. I'm Clint. You can be able to download my book tomorrow for free. It's strawmanstory.info. It is volume one of a 3 or 4 volume set. If I live long enough to finish it, we'll take another call here, and then I want to get into the notion of arms, the Second Amendment, and how important it is to understand the true nature of the Second Amendment. Art from Off the Grid. Welcome, Art.
Hey, Clint. How's it going, man? Been a while. Alright, you were... this is one of the things that I could go off for hours on this topic. But let's try to keep it simple. How is liberty defined? And this is one of the things that I teach people is how do we define liberty? True liberty is only attainable by those who, as you were saying, own property. Without the ability and the right to own property, you cannot truly be free, which means you cannot truly experience what it means to have liberty. Now, the question is, with property ownership, is it lawful to tax one's property? Well, this goes in line with the federal income tax. Is it lawful? Look at Section 83. Right, it's already been declared that your labor is your property, and under Section 83 of the tax code, you can't tax anything that's not beyond your wage, your just compensation. Because your compensation, your wage, you get paid $5 an hour. Well, if you work 2 hours and you get $10, well, there's no profit there, which means technically, under law, under Section 83, nothing can be taxed because your labor is your property and you're only being paid $5 an hour for your labor. That's just compensation, so you can't be taxed there. So, is it lawful to tax one's property? Well, the courts have already ruled property cannot be taxed. True property cannot be taxed.
Which is why you pay property tax
because you don't own the property. Which is why you have to pay a tax on your car, your van, your boats every year by registration and driver's license and insurance. These are all taxes because you don't own them. The courts have ruled you don't owe tax on your property. But as long as you're paying these taxes, you don't own property. Therefore, no one owns any property. And here's where the driver's license comes in. Here also goes to being liberty. You have a driver's license, you have no right to travel. You have a privilege of driving. I don't have a driver's license. Thus, I exercise my right to travel. What about a fishing license, a hunting license, a trapping license? I have no licenses. But then again, I can walk into a court and I can defeat any case against me that says I'm fishing without a license. No, I am acquiring food. I'm not fishing, I'm acquiring food, and I don't need a license to feed myself. So we continue on with the right to keep and bear arms. I don't need any kind of license or permit that says I have the right to protect myself. I have a natural-born right to protect myself. I don't need some idiot to give me permission.
Art,
Okay?
All right. And wait a minute. See, you are talking about natural liberty. The question is not...
Exactly!
The question is
Absolutely.
Not...
Absolutely!
The question is not whether or not we have liberty. The question is what kind of liberty do we have? Now, you look
you
up
have
the word
only liberty.
Liberty. You look
you
up
have,
the word
you
liberty.
Only?
You look up the word liberty, you find that there's natural liberty, which means that you can restrain and control yourself because of your duty to obey the natural law or the laws of nature.
Mm-hmm.
It's an exception from control of others. You have civil liberty, the civil liberty mm-hmm. of men in the state of society.
Under the 14th Amendment.
It's a restraint of natural liberty, so that's the difference, is that civil liberty or civil rights are a restraint on natural rights or natural liberty. You have political liberty, which is synonymous with civil liberty, which has to deal with the nation, and you have religious liberty, which, again, if you're acting religiously, you have total liberty, but if you're acting as a citizenship, and your religious liberty is bound by the law of the nation. Now, liberty means freedom. Freedom means liberty. So we have to ask, what kind of liberty do we have? Freedom is defined as, one, a political right, and two, a franchise.
Right.
We'll be back. Stay tuned. Filling in some dogs today. Oh, it's good to be back in the host chair. It feels really good, man. Maybe I'll come back sometime. But I wanted to Art, stay on the line, man. I got to ask you a question because you're one of my target audiences with a portion of my book, and I just want to ask you a really simple question. But first, I want to.
You're not expecting a simple answer.
You mentioned bearing arms, and this is one of the most misunderstood concepts ever. And I really want folks to understand this because those who do bear arms are the private people.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that bearing arms is a protected thing under the Constitution is because without bearing your arms, you couldn't be a sovereign. You couldn't be one of the bloodline of that people. Now, I want you to listen very carefully, folks. What does it really mean to bear arms? Arms is heraldry. It is not weapons. Weapons can be called arms, sure. Swords, knives, rocks in slingshots can certainly be called arms. But the true nature of the arms in the Constitution, what is actually protected, is your right to bear your family genealogy, your bloodline, your heraldry. Listen to this very carefully. I'm reading straight from the American Heraldry Society, an excerpt from an article in 2006 that appeared in the American Herald, number one, a magazine or newspaper. The Washington Arms and Civic Heraldry. As already mentioned, the District of Columbia flies a flag that is actually a banner of the arms of the Washington family. Contrary to what is often reported, however, it does not use this design on a shield as a coat of arms proper. Washington County, Virginia, does use a shield with the Washington arms. You think that's a gun, folks? No, it's a picture. It's an image. But differences them in accordance with heraldic custom, in this case, changing the color of the mullets to blue. What are the mullets? The stars. Fredericksburg, Virginia, also draws on the Washington arms in different form, in the case using the crest with a cardinal, etc., etc. The city of Charlestown, West Virginia, and the town of Washington, North Carolina, also both employs the Washington arms, but in their original form. It is generally recognized as improper heraldic practice to borrow the arms of another in undifferenced form. Now, I want you folks to understand whose arms you are bearing. You are bearing the flag and seal of the United States, which is defined anywhere you look as the arms of the United States. What do you think the right to bear arms actually means, folks? Do you really think it's a vulgar concept of weapons, like you're some frickin' caveman? No. It is your bloodline. It is your heraldry. It is the reason that you would possibly ever be able to claim land, because those who created these territories were a bloodline, a people. This is why a state is a people. The Washington Arms and Ecclesiastical Heraldry, the Catholic Archdiocese of Washington, honors the first president with the three mullets, which are the five pointed stars. We also call those the lesser seal of Solomon in witchcraft. In the third quarter of its arms, the three six-pointed stars. In the second quarter, what are the three six-pointed stars? The seals of Solomon in witchcraft, or masonry, or, you know, you could call it Star of David if you want to, but it's really the seal of Solomon. Go into any smoke shop, witchcraft store, whatever, they're going to know what the seal of Solomon is. You just ask. In the second quarter, pay tribute to Pius the sixth, the Pope at the time of the American Revolution. Gee, wonder if they had anything to do with it. The reference to the Washington arms is more obvious in those Episcopal dioceses, which replaces the center mullet or star with a mural crown and adds a blue chief with a golden Jerusalem cross. Well, gee, why the Jerusalem cross? Did you know, folks, that Israel, why did England conquer Palestine and recreated into Israel? Do you think it's to help the Jews? No. Israel, that whole land, used to be called the Kingdom of Jerusalem. It was lost from the English crown in 1215. I believe it was Elizabeth at the time who lost it. The Kingdom of Jerusalem, the Golden Jerusalem Cross. You get the picture. What is the right to bear arms? Folks, your right to carry weapons or firearms, as they're legally called, is solely dependent on whatever right is given you as a fictional citizenship of district. The men who are in the territory, states, those who bear their arms and reserve their private rights, their God-given natural rights, those are the people who are bearing arms. You don't have arms just because you're carrying a gun or pretending to, because you have one some gun safe at home with thousands of rounds of ammunition. You're not bearing your arms as according to what is the intention in the Constitution. Don't believe me, folks. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you when I'm reading you about the Washington arms, and that our very United States flag is the flag of the Washington family, direct descendant of the kings of England, as all presidents are, the bloodline of presidents, and the flag of the United States is literally a version, different, if you will, because it would be improper to actually fly the arms of the heraldic arms of the Washington family. The genealogical, or excuse me, the etymological meaning of Washington is the kingdom or city of a man named Wassa. All right, so please, folks, stop talking about guns. Your right to carry guns is only because you are a private citizen, or excuse me, a private man with your own land to protect your own land. That's the only reason that you people out there, you citizenships, you public persons, can carry guns is to protect the damn United States, their interests. And the job of the United States is to protect the private people who created it. That's why you can carry guns. And if you take it too far, they're going to take them away from you. You got to understand the difference between capitalized words and non-capitalized words. And if you look in the Constitution, that word, amongst many others, are capitalized. It's a caponym, a proper noun. It means a specific type of arms, as in the highest arms, which is heraldry, your bloodline. If you're not showing that, if you're not bearing your family, then your family is the United States. Your family is the people. That's who your father is. That's why they called them the founding fathers. Now, Art, I want to ask you a question. You are really down on the word God, aren't you?
Do what now?
You're really down on the word God.
Not really. I'm just not much into the whole religious thing, and I just really don't like being preached to. But no, I'm not really down on it.
Well, let me ask you a question. If I were to tell you that my book is completely and utterly, utterly against the Pope, against religion of any sort that is organized as a corporation under the state, which of course means you have no religious freedom if it's a legal corporation. If I was to tell you that my book was about the Bible and the Bible alone as compared to the legal law, and if I was to tell you that my book explains what the Bible passages actually mean by the original language of the Hebrew, the Chaldean, and the Latin, the Greek, would that interest you? Would you be able to separate the Bible and the church?
Sure, why not? See, here's what a lot of people don't understand about me, because I tell people real quick when they start into, you know, Jesus loves you, and my first words are, don't talk to me.
It's all crap.
I don't even want to hear it. All right?
It's all crap. You're not supposed to be loved by
Jesus. People don't understand. If you look at my library, my personal library, I have dozens of books on all different kinds of religions and spiritual practices. I'm not opposed to it. I just don't want to hear preaching. But I can read a book.
I can read a book which
are based upon the principles and still get something from the book.
Exactly. So the question is, really, do you want to know the truth? Do you want to know what the Bible actually is trying to tell you from its original intent and source? Or have you gotten to the point, as most of us have, that we just throw the baby out with the bathwater, we hate the church, we hate religion, and therefore we hate the Bible, which was the whole plan all along. Because guess what? A Bible-reading people, according to the same guy, cannot be enslaved. If you know what the Bible says, you cannot be enslaved, because you would never accept the nation, you would never accept the person, you would never accept any flattering titles, nor give them respect. You would never do any of the things we do in citizenship. I'm trying to get across.
When I went to law school, I went to Barrister's Inn when it was in Boise, Idaho. My educator, I don't use the word professor or teacher, I use the word educator because that's what we were doing. We were being educated. My educator was a gentleman by the name of George Gordon, who has passed away a few years ago. And when he would teach based upon the true Old Testament biblical understanding of constitutional law and natural rights. That is where I got my true, when I first got truly exposed to what was really in the original Hebrew text of the Bible.
It's fascinating. I've never been more fascinated and more pissed off that I've been so lied to about what is in the Bible, that every preacher, every priest, every pope, every minister out there as a legally licensed preacher has been lying to us and tells us to support the legal law over the Bible law. It's amazing to me that we have fallen for that, and that is another big aspect of what this book about. Every quotation in the Bible has to be understood word for word in its original intent, and it's shocking. It is shocking, people, what the Bible actually says. You will be shocked. And if you read this book, my book, for no other reason than to understand what the Bible actually says and that it is completely opposed to nations, where it says all the gods of the nations are idols. What's a god? A magistrate, a judge, a president, a pope, etc. And it is completely against organized religion. Of course, they don't teach that in church, and they certainly don't teach that in government. In fact, they're banning the Bible, and for good reason. The reason that they preach the Bible in Latin is because they know that nobody knows Latin. They do that because it's a dead language, as they say. It's very much an alive language. Everything you say to a judge is being heard in Latin. I guarantee you, you're speaking in a vulgar language they call English or dog Latin, because they have you. You're their dogs, their animals. Last words, my friend. I got some other calls.
I'm just going to let it go at that. But I will say that to a point, when it comes to the right, you know, the right to keep and bear arms, to a point I do agree with you, but I take a little bit different understanding to the right to keep and bear arms, because I actually take it as it's written when it talks about the militia, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, and then I go to what Jefferson said. When he said, no man shall be debarred the use of arms, for it is as a last resort to defend oneself against tyranny and government. And that tells me that arms isn't just about guns, it's about the ability to keep and possess those instruments you need to protect you, yourself, your family, your neighbors, your property from unjust oppression.
I can tell that you understand, though, Art, that that would only apply to you if you were on your own land.
Exactly.
Thank you for the call, my friend.
I don't do licenses, I don't do taxes, and all of that other garbage. I am truly sovereign. Hey, I'm out of here, man. Have a great one.
Take care, my friend. Let's go back to the phones to... Oh, I lost my screen. Betty. Betty in, I think that's North Carolina.
Hello.
Greetings.
Greetings. I want to thank you for all your many, many efforts, and I was curious, when you stress so much language, what is your view on Noam Chomsky's, all his efforts?
I think he has some really interesting things to say. I always question people's, you know, true purpose. He's said some things that disturb me, and he's said some things that are quite wonderful. Honestly, at this point, Betty, I look at quotes and I pull in quotes not according necessarily to the person who said them, although that is very important, but to what they are actually what they actually mean. And I look at the background of the person. Are they in a position to know what we're talking about here today? Are they in a position to know the mystery? What is under the rose? What is the secrets of the state? That's why we have secretaries of the state and secretaries of defense. Secretary means secret keeper. See, if it's someone like him that probably knows the secret, then you have to kind of beware. He'll say, you know, you say 90% truth, but mislead with 10% lies. The last thing that these people want you to know is that they stole your lands right from out from under you through the birth process, through the attainder of blood, through putting you into this fictional district and taking you away from the land. If Noam Chomsky is not talking about that, that's really, to me, the only thing that matters. Everything else kind of takes a sidestep, because all this crap we talk about and pass around and all this patriot stuff means absolutely nothing if you don't have land. And we are refugees on other people's lands. That is a feudal system. And that's the most important thing there is. As far as, I don't know what to say about Noam Chomsky. I think you should take the quote. You should break it apart. You should see what the intent is and go from there. I don't think anybody should be quoted or not quoted because of their reputation. I quote a lot of evil mothers in my book because their quotes are so absolutely relevant to understanding the disposition of evil people, of people who have enslaved us through our own voluntary actions. So, you know, I try to find the purest truth and knowledge out of everything anybody ever says.
Good. Can I make one statement and get off then? Language, when you don't explicitly state before you get into that problem of language what your first unprovable assumptions are on value systems, means that your language is not tied, you know, to the values. And that's all I wanted to say.
It's absolutely true. Absolutely true. I think it's important to know that all words are lies. Words are never anything but the mirror image of the reality they represent. A word is never the real thing. If I say book, it's an ambiguous term. It means absolutely nothing. If I say my book, okay, which book? If I say my book named this, well, then all of a sudden the word has a specific meaning. Now, if I say man, what am I referring to? Am I referring to the scientific term homo? Am I talking to about the human qualities of man? Am I talking about the spiritual notion of man? Or am I talking like a landholder, a feudal landholder of the United States or any other country, or the Queen or the Pope? And when I say man, I mean slave. Everybody knows that when slave masters say, my man will do that work for me, they're talking about their slave. Words have no meaning until they are specifically put into an order. That's the purpose of terms of art. That's the purpose of dictionaries in all the forms of art, whether it be science or medical or jurisprudence, whatever it is, you must know the language according to how they define their terms. You do not have a choice about what words mean, only they do, because it's their system, not yours. You're a person of it, which means you're a subject to its laws, which means you're subject to the words that make up those laws. There's a reason that monks and Christ remained silent, because the only thing that can ever cause you to fall under the devil's power is the words of a contract. And every time you speak, you're making yourself a contract with whoever you're speaking to. Thank you very much, Betty. Mike in, I think that's Colorado. Welcome, Mike.
Hello.
Greetings.
Yeah, this is Fred.
Well, hi, Fred.
How you doing, man? It's been a long time since I've heard your voice on the radio. So, hey, I've got a question for you. Tell me, if I buy your book, I read your book, can I walk away with some tools that will allow me to take my private man status back, or my flesh and blood man status that I once had?
My first volume is, my philosophy, Fred, is that you cannot do anything without a foundation of knowledge. And therefore, we need to know one very, very important foundation, and that is the Bible is the foundation of all law. Bible is actually part of the common law, and we have no access to the common law because we're not in a position of being common law. So you have to understand that when we're talking about the law, and the reason that the Bible is used in courts to swear an oath to, because you're actually swearing an oath to a fiction and using God's name in vain to do so, the reason that the Bible is so important is because, especially the King James Version, is because it literally is the patented law of the moral or scriptural law. So in other words, you either follow that, and at that point, none of the other law actually matters, or you ignore that. You do not do as the scripture says. What does the scripture say? It says, take no person, take no oath, take no number, take no mark, take no flattering titles. Don't do anything that citizenships do. You either follow that or you become what we have become, which are completely corrupted individuals. So I don't think that you can walk away from my book. If you're looking for some legal form, then absolutely not. Because I'll tell you that the most hard to accept thing that I think that I have discovered is that there is no legal solution. You can't have a solution while you're acting in the legal system. Legal is opposed to nature, opposed to God, opposed to Christ. Legal is the opposition of the scripture. Okay, it's completely dealing with fiction and artifice, not which the Bible tells you to. Well, the Bible tells you that is what sin is. Anything artificial, technology, is all sin. If you're worshiping that instead of the word, the law that is the Bible, then you're stuck. If you try to get out of that with a legal document and you're praying to the judge to allow you, he's not going to let you. He's going to keep you as his slave. So the number one, the most foundational knowledge you can have is that you need to stop acting the part. You need to stop pretending you are a person of the United States. You need to stop pretending you're a fiction. You're an artifice. You're a natural person, that you have a nationality, and you need to get back to the land. Now, to do that, that's a whole other process. We had KW on my show, and he went through the process, and I will get to that in future volumes. But first of all, you cannot do any of this without the knowledge, and the true knowledge is the truth, as we call it. There's two forms of truth, my friend. There is the lie that is confirmed and ratified, accepted and consented as the truth, which is what the courts make and the wordsmiths make. And there is what is called the self-evident truth, or the self-existent truth, that which needs no proof. I don't need to prove to you that I exist, but I do need to prove to you legally that my person exists. I need to prove to you that you owe me money because I'm a person and we made a contract. But as a man speaking to another man, I'm not going to invoke your person because that would be a sin. That would be, that's why it says, judge not another man, lest ye judge yourself. Well, how can I possibly bring you into court or injure, bring into law you into court, unless I'm doing so through your legal artificial person? The only way I can do that is to judge myself and say, I am also in sin. I am a legal person, and therefore I'm bringing you to court. The only solution, my friend, is forgiveness, love, charity. Those are very simple concepts. And you know what? Charity is the only way, the only true way to avoid all the taxes, all the monetary things. Pure charity. That is the lesson that is taught in the Bible. That's why it's against mammon or money.
Right. You know, let me just make one more comment here. You know, as one researcher to another, and I honor you for what you're doing. You're a patriot. You really are. But where I find my frustration, you know, I've been disabled and in bed for all these years, and that's what got me down this road that really led me to talk to you on a number of your shows, and today, actually. But my frustration comes when you have this body of knowledge. How do you impart it upon another person without their ego attacking you? And I'm isolated from my family, you know, and everything else. I'm sure you have found that way too, because they don't have the time, the energy, because they're working and they're bringing up kids and everything else to do what we do, and that's to hit the books. I thought I was wasting my time all these years, and I found out that, wow, you know, I've read hundreds of books and on Wi-Fi radio, test driving it and stuff, and been on your shows a number of times. And it's very frustrating, and I'm sure you're frustrated too.
Dude,
trying to impart this on another person to change.
That's why I wrote this book. That is why I'm sacrificing my career, my well-being, I'm sacrificing everything to be able to put this together so that people can have the knowledge, because without each other, we can't do anything. What's the point of me having land if I can't build a monastery and have other people come and have sanctuary from all this legal, this hell that we call the jurisdiction of the district? That's
well, Clint,
the point.
Clint, thank you for what you do, okay?
Absolutely, my friend.
Okay. Take care.
Sorry we didn't get to our last call, Mark in Florida. So sorry. Been fun. I hope that you'll go to strawmanstory.info, download that book, and hand it out. It's free. Don't ask me permission. Just do it. Love you all. Take care.